Father in heaven, we're so thankful for thy goodness, for thy faithfulness. We're thankful that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we realize that we're like the wind. We change. We move here and we move there. But Father, help us to realize that we need thy added strength. We might remain in that place that you put us. We might adapt to the situations that we face. We might put on that robe of righteousness. We might prove you to be just, to be faithful, that you have loving kindness, tender mercy, for your marvelous grace that we're saved. And Lord, we thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you change not. Thank you for that great extended love that goes beyond our comprehension, that helps us to be delivered as we call upon thy name. And Lord, as we call upon you, you remember that we're made of dust. And Father, when we call for forgiveness, that you're there to forgive us, to give us a new strength, that you put that what we were facing, where we have failed you. Your word says that you'll put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it no more. And Lord, when you remember it no more, it means it's not there no longer. And we thank you for that hope, that blessed assurance, that you remain faithful, that you're always with us. Your eyes run to and fro to show yourself strong on the hearts of those who walk up right before you, the righteous, that you hear their cries, you hear their voices, you hear their hearts. And Lord, your word says that you're far from those that do evil. And help us this day to remember that you bless those who walk before you. You will uplift those that seek thy face, those who call upon you, that you will answer and show them great and mighty things that we know not. And Father, we just pray mightily that you'll touch this people here this day in a very special way. And Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I believe that we're living in a very special day. Not because we're living here, but I believe according to God, it's a time on God's schedule that things are coming to pass. And it says to his people, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus, his disciples ask him such, what shall the signs of your coming be? And he came down through those. He said, there'll be wars, rumors of war. There'll be pestilence. There'll be problems. But when we see these other things come to pass, which is like Israel, it says, when Israel became a nation, it meant that this generation should not pass away till these things be fulfilled. And that was in 1948. So it's generation about 40 years. God extends it. He can go as long as he wants. But we have that roadmap that even if we would lose, we have our senses, which is what we feel, touch, smell, sight, and we know what our senses are. But then God gives us a sixth sense. It goes beyond what we see. It goes beyond that which we can comprehend. It goes beyond what we're familiar with. And that sixth sense, as we grow into that, and that's a part of God that God wants to instill in our hearts, that when he says something and everything else says the opposite, we still go to the sixth sense because we know it's what's going to happen. It's what's going to take place. And we have that assurance. It is something that we can't explain. We just have to receive it with joyfulness. It's a special blessing from God. But it helps us through life's trials. We all face troubles. We face heartaches. We go through disappointments. How many times have all of us had our disappointments come to our hearts? We want to do something, but it didn't just happen. It just didn't work. And I know I went through Korea and how I thought at that time. I said, well, I figured this was probably my last days. And when you're facing those kind of things, that you just live from hour to hour, day by day, and it's the same can happen here, but it's not as rigid as is there. So, and pretty soon you start, if you are tending to have some desire about even God, you're going to start seeking that way because everybody says, well, they know that something's going to happen when you face death. So the military, there's these that's very hardened, they claim, but even them, I think, they do a little praying. And they begin a little confessing once in a while, you know, these things are going to come to pass. We're living a time when a shell comes your way or whatever, you're at the end of your road. The Bible says it's appointed one to man, once to God, and then comes the judgment. So all of us, there's one appointment we're going to have is when we meet the Lord, because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. And unless we know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we're going to stand there with no one to lean on. We're going to be there without hope. We're going to be afraid. We're going to be scared. We're going to be feel like going before some king that we don't know what he's going to do to us. And we'll find ourselves in that place of not, it's a place of unsafety. It's a place of not knowing. But when we know Jesus, the Bible says we have that blessed assurance that Jesus is before us, if God before us, who could be against us? So it gives us that peace that goes beyond what we face in life. The enemy comes after we accept Jesus Christ. He comes on us when we're little, small. But he comes more intent as the time that we accept Jesus Christ. He wants to make war against us. Sometimes he lets people have their way. But we can see, as I was in jail ministry for about 10, maybe 15 years, but I have seen very few people that went through Sunday school in jail. But those who have had no access to God was in jail. There's a lot of difference. There's a lot of difference for those who have not known somewhat, some part of God. God is powerful. Even just having a faint touch of him is powerful. In a sense of those who have not received that inheritance, based on a way. But God takes us at a point of growing. When we first come to him, it's a place of growing. It's like that scripture that Marie gave me on that card. I'm going to read it because it's in the... Brother Fink, you've got a Bible?
Yes.
Why don't you read that one? 6th chapter and 7th verse.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God.
Okay, and then read the next verse too. This is sort of an opposite.
But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Read the next two verses.
But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister.
Read 11 too.
And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.
You know, that word end is all of us have been to old movies, the end. Well, that's sort of the way life is, but we have a life that starts at the ending. And that's that special hope, that special. And the Bible says that he's coming for those that are looking for his coming. Sometimes through our Christian endeavor in growing, we see that more plainly him than what we see here. And that grows on us. It grows in us as we grow deeper in the Lord. And that day should not come upon us as a snare of troublesome, but be a day of enlightenment, that I'm looking for him.
Amen.
That I'm searching for him. In Ecclesiastes, I think it says there's something about in Ecclesiastes or Lamentations, but she went searching for her lover, which meant Jesus. And that's the way we are. We should be so in love with Jesus that we want to see him. There's never been no one cared for me like Jesus. And Jesus has proved himself to me that he would help me every day when I was working. He's helped me through the times for 30 years. Jesus has been for many years, day by day, every day. He would tell me things that was going to take place before I ever did it. And this is a very special arrangement that God can do for any one of us in this room. He's not a respecter of person, but those will seek for him. And I spent, but the only thing that I had on my behalf, I sought about 8 years for a change in my life. And I think that this life that we have, we need to just not take it as a light occasion. That we may need to trust God and believe that there's something that God wants to relate to us while we're here that's better than what we're now doing. That we might grow in his image. We might grow in his likeness. We might be adaptable to the woo of his mighty spirit. That we would not be conformed to this world no longer. We would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can obtain these as we desire it through faith, believing that I want more of God. And I want more of God. I'm a Bible. The Lord told me a few years back, he says, you're like a pig. But the pig desires something more than he needs. God says, my son, he says, I've given you all. But God says that he's happy. But we need to reach out for those round about us that are not as fortunate as we are to give to them what we have.
Amen.
And that's why I say what I say, because I want you to have what I have.
Amen.
And I'm not here to exalt myself at all, but I exalt God. God has you to be favored of him. Having favor with God is a mighty, mighty explosion beyond. Israel was exploded and was favored by God. When they would serve God, God arrayed them out and they could do no wrong. God was with them. If God's with you, he will not leave you. If God be for you, who could be against you? I was reading that in the Word, but it says that in Romans. If God be for you, who could be against you? Greater is he that's within you, he's within the world. You have that present hope. And God wants to get this message in us in indelible impression, Father, that we don't lose it. That we want it to the place that he is and becomes our closest friend. That when we get in trouble, that we don't say, well, I better call my doctor, I better call my lawyer, but you call him first.
Amen.
Then if he tells you to go to these others, you go to them. But until he should be the first of all of your examinations, if God give you a test, that the first thing that you would do is seek God. You wouldn't try to do it within yourself. You wouldn't try to make this mean that everything that we do it as unto God. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have that ever-present help in the time of need. God is love. He's all the things that we need, the things that we can adapt with. He has it available. He has it like a great store, a house of many things that we can go into his house. He fills with love. He fills with peace. He gives us joy. He gives loving kindness. He gives us that satisfaction of his love. Satisfying is something you can't have without God. You'll never be satisfied without God. People have to go on vacations. They have to go do these things. But I don't really like going on these things because my greatest satisfaction is God. He becomes my satisfaction. I had a friend of mine that's already went to heaven, and he told me a few years back, I wish you'd go up to Shasta Lake with us and go on a... I said, I don't want to go up there. I said, I like you, but I wouldn't want to do what you all are doing. I said, I have my joy in God. He said, how can that be? I said, well, I can't tell you. But I said, I can get out here right by myself, and God just comes down like a wonderful love. And I guess I'm a little selfish. I sort of like it, too. And I said, I'm not up against people, but I do know that I like solitude with God.
Amen.
The time when we have to display with one another. We have to give ourselves to others. But that time with God should be the most precious time that we have in our life. It becomes beyond your wife, your husband, or whatever. It's the pinnacle that we would have that special time with God. That God would come down and touch us at that time. And that's why the church is starving this day that we're in. That's why the church is not in touch with heaven. Because they don't spend no time with a lover. How would a marriage be if you never spent any time with your half? How would it be? That's the way we are with God. We receive Jesus and we sit down and we said, oh, how, boy, I see a lot of problems out here. How are we going to do that? God says, I'm right here helping you. Why don't you call me? And we go, and God says, knocking on your door all the time. He says, open, come, I'm here to help you. I'm here. Oh, I don't really need that. I don't need to hear that. You can't really talk to people. And you know, you're in the Word, but that's it. And we don't realize that still small voice is God talking to us, that we might have that extra help. That we might have that support, that blessing that would keep us. That we might, as that rain came on this last week, as it came, I went down and looked at that old parched ground that was so dry. And what, you believe it? We know what believe. Grass is coming up already. Grass, that rain is life. And when we have the power of the Holy Ghost in us, we get life. We get something. The Bible says in James, it says he wants to pour out the early rain and the latter rain. We're living the time when the latter rain, and God wants to pour upon us a mighty blessing. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ would have the glory of God, that we'd be a spotless church without spot or wrinkle, a glorious church, a wonderful church. And then we're not all in the same church, but God sees us as, see, where we're in fellowship is only for a fellowship. The church is God. God showed me here a while about the churches really doesn't make any difference where you go. It's where he would let you go, but where your closest church is him.
Amen.
Your closest fellowship is God. Your closest desire is to serve God where he would have you go, that you might minister to those round about you. That's why you need the power of the Holy One in you, that you can minister his grace, you can minister his love, that you will not be provoked, you'll not be cast down, you'll not be in walking confusion. Praise God. Hallelujah, blessing. I'll get my Bible up for him. Satan, I come against you. But God is not slack concerning his promises. He's long-suffering just like that Bible. I was not holding it like I should. And that's the way in life. There's things that we should hold on to. We don't hang on to it dear enough. It's like a treasure. You don't hang on these things that can be easily taken from you. The enemy comes to kill, destroy, and steal. He comes to take away your joy. And he can get rid of our joy. We have no confidence. We have no strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He becomes our peace. He becomes our power. The anointing, the structure of God that lives within us, that we might be fortified from heaven. We might take on the inheritance that fades not away, reserved in heaven. We have a guarantee that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His all-seeing eye is over the righteous. His ears are open to their cries. Oh, isn't that wonderful? His ears. You know, and the joy of the Lord, we should have a smile on our face. We should be happy. Happy as a people whose God is the Lord. Happy, 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 happy. I see people so heavy. Yes. So struck with, and you ask them. I met this little lady a few years ago, and I said, she says, I've never been happy all my life. I says, Jesus, the answer. Yeah. A couple days later, she says, you know, what you told me is true. But I prayed, she didn't know it, but I really prayed for her. God puts us in strategic ministries at times. He'll put you in a place like years ago, the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, before you get to Littrells, when you get there, have your first aid kit out because there's going to be a woman. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew this woman was going to have blood in her hand. So I got out and I stopped right there and I seen this woman. She slammed the door and she was cursing and she wasn't the nicest. And I'm not sure what all she had partakers with, but I said, God bless you. I says, you know what, could I help you with your hand? Why would you help me with my hand? I've never had that. Nobody helped me. And I said, I'm here to help you. And me know before in a few minutes, she calmed down. It was like a little meek kitten. God has a way when we step out by faith in him. I'm stepping out by faith here tonight because of you. But everything that we do, it should be a measure of faith that we might obtain the presence of God. We might walk in the Lord with all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Pleasing God has to be the highest calling that we have. It's not ministering to church, even though a minister is a great, but the great highest calling is pleasing God. Pleasing God. How do I please Him? To walk favored by Him. Walk in His outgoing presence. If God wants you to be quiet, you're quiet. He commands your steps. The Bible says, our steps are ordered by the Lord. And He lighteth under the way. Though we shall fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth us with His mighty hand. God directs our steps. He directs our thoughts. He directs what we think. He goes beyond that. He directs our feelings. You know, that we can be able to cope with situations that we don't even understand. That God somehow, I can, it's not always He speaks. He, you just know it. It's beyond, faster than any speaking. Instantaneous, you can know a great truth in a second. And this is beyond our human endeavor that we can learn through college, through all the intellect of man, of computers. But God can do these things and do them right if we submit ourselves to Him. And He's looking for those who will believe in Him, that trust in Him. Israel didn't want to trust in God. Israel wanted to do her own thing. Though she was the apple of God's eye. And I say she, that Israel herself was a mighty nation. But Israel sort of wanted to do her own thing. And when we want to do our own thing, we sort of separates us from the will of God. We might be, have a picture out here that says, oh, he's a Christian, but in heart, my heart might be a lie. And if I'm living a lie, then I'm really opposite of what God's all about. He lives in truth. He lives in holy living. He lives in just living. He loves those that love him. He works in those who love, who love the things of God, that love to be morally right. It's not bragging, but me morally right comes through God Himself. He teaches us to abstain ourselves from all appearance of evil, casting all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. But there's one area that He does not force us into, and He doesn't even these other areas, but there's one area that we have to do mandatory is humility. Bible says we might be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. That's us. Mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us in due time, casting all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. He's roaming around to take away our joy, take away our the expression of love. You know, we need to realize we need to take a look at the mirror sometime and see what we look like, because God wants us to be represent Him. And He challenged us daily that we might get away that sorrowful and the upset and all the fretting. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down as the green grass and shall wither as the herb. But trust the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. He shall give you the desires. Commit thy ways also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, casting all their cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil going around as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, who resist steadfast in the faith. We resist him in the faith. When the opposition comes so hard, when we think we're in trouble, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. God's given us power and authority to resist the adversary. He's given us power in Jesus' name that we can come against any situation in Jesus' name, and God will be for us. He will bless us. He will keep us. The only thing that separates us from these things not happening is our sin problem. Greater love had no man lay down his life for his friend. God said, no greater love than my people live above reproach. That's what He's saying. My people cannot obtain because they want to practice unholy things. Israel wanted to practice sin. Israel wanted to be like the world. And we cannot be like the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of any man that loves the world. The love of the Father is not in him. Abstain. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. God is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but as long-suffering, that's we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Bible says, knowing then that in the last days there shall be scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? It says, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as it was from the very beginning. There's scoffers out here saying, if we get caught up in that, we're against God. God wants to have, He wants to be co-workers with Him. If God be for us, then we have to learn in our vocabulary to lift up God. That's part of it. We need to train our lives that I'm going to follow God in my precepts. My heart. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. So if my heart is wrong, it's pretty soon it's going to come out wrong, because there's wrong in my heart. I need to come down and pray through until my heart becomes right with God. And God will bless me, He will keep me, and He'll uplift me if we go that way. We can't make our own way through our own desires. Our own lust will pull us apart from God's presence. God is on our side. He's never against us. But we realize that our bodies were not made for sin. We can't cope with sin. We can't handle it. They bring great damage to our lives. Our heart will live a short life if we have sin in our life. If we have great dispensations of anger and all these things that bring us up, for our blood pressure comes up, we're going to have a short life. We're not going to live like we would if normally we live in God's presence. God orders our steps, and I know He knows the day. He knows all of us when He's going to take us home. But He may be His purpose to live here a while longer if we could we shorten our lives by becoming against the works of God. I believe this. We will live longer and live better if we come God's way. If you want a short life and a hazardous life and a not knowing life and being an up or down life and worried what's going to happen to you, go the way of the world. And I guarantee you, you won't, you'll be upside, you'll be a downward. I've seen men that's 10, 20 years younger than I am that I know who looks way older than I am, and they live older because they have lived a rough life. God has a good life for those who will call upon Him, those who will seek His face. God will anoint them. And strengthen them, and they will no longer. And I'll tell you, it's not sitting up in front of a vast congregation of people showing who you are to manifest yourself, but letting God position you as the standard of God. His standard shall be upon His people. His blessing shall be upon it. He positions those who will call upon His name. He positions them that go through the valleys. And we can go through the valley shadow of death, and we will fear no evil, for it says evil should be with us. We can go through this the situation, hard time. He says He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will keep us in the days of destruction. And we may face those things. Times are coming very shortly when it looks like things are going to come down to a level that we are not really acquainted with the last few years. Back when I was a kid, I remember it was a tough time. It was a time when I went to school and was just a biscuit. That's all we had. And we didn't have very much. And it could come back that same way again, that we don't have a lot. We didn't have good clothes. We didn't have all the things that we, these last days, God has allowed us to have because of His grace. As Mark, since World War II, He has blessed America. He has blessed our land. He has blessed us with mighty churches. He has blessed us with pastors. He's blessed us with all the Sunday schools. He's blessed us. And what have we done with it? We've taken it down to a place that we become achievers one to another. We want to see who has the biggest congregation. We want to see who has the greatest records. But God says, my people must come to Him. My people should call my name. My save my people. My people need to be a holy people. My people need to be a just people. My people need to walk in the fear, the admonition of the Lord their God. That they would want to please their Lord every day of their life. They would want to fulfill His calling. That my people would be above reproach. My people would walk in absence of the cares of this world. My people would not adapt themselves to things that become so practical. And many of my people this day, I said, many of my people live in loose living. I say they've lost the cause. They've lost the direction. And I say even their sanctuaries thinks it's okay what they're doing. I say many are sipping alcohol that's not adaptable for them. They're taking things that's not adaptable what I've called them to do. My people are not eating my word. I say the things that they eat are contrary to that. They take in garbage in their minds. They take in garbage in their homes. They take garbage to look at. They take garbage to see. But I'm choosing those this day who will live in holiness and holy attire, wanting to make room for their Savior. The greater is He that's within them than he is in the world. But I say many of my people this day are absent from the glory of God. They're absent and seeking the Lord. They're absent when I give the roll call daily. They never call upon my name. They're absent. And yet on Sundays, they go to the biggest sanctuary, says the Spirit of God. They give their money, and they think that's going to bring them right favor with the Lord their God. But I say, I have something to show them, and that which I have to show them is beyond the things that they're looking for. And the things that they're looking for is of this world. The things that I'm looking through my people are holy people. People will love their God, will mean business for the Lord their God, that love Him with truth, will love the knowledge of God, will seek my face, and through those ones I will bless them. And I shall meet their need, and I shall move upon them in a very special way. And they shall obtain mercy. And I say, if they make a wrong judgment, I shall forgive them. And I shall heal them. And I shall bless them. And I shall give them a heart of love. I'll give them a heart of joy, peace, goodness. All the things that the world cannot give them, I shall give them. And if they shall hunger and thirst after me, I, the Lord thy God, shall meet their need, and I shall heal them in a mighty way. But I say this land is so far from what my spirit is, says the Spirit of God. I say many are taught that they can live wrongfully and live in the streets of degradation and live in the filthiest land, and still they're acceptable in my sanctuaries. And I say, That is not by me, says the Spirit of God. I love my people, but yet I expect them to come out from among this world, that my people would learn that I am a holy God, that I cannot look upon sin. I do not favor sin. I favor that person that's bound by sin. I pray that with my people, they might pray for these that are indifferent, to those that are seeking not my way. And I desire those that would be have that wrong desire to be changed. But I say if they do not change, it will be a day of hardship for them. A day very shortly is coming upon this land. There's going to be heartaches, trials, problems that men and women do not want to face. But I'm the answer. I'm your strength. For I loveth thee. And I say with that, I say my people need to take advantage of what I wish to give them. My people need to take great thought what the Lord thy God can do for thee. You should take great admiration that I am here with longing arms of love. And I do not criticize. I wait, look to thee that thou might make amends, that I might be able to re-bless those ones. But I say my people are very discouraged in this last hour. And it's because the avenue of sin. It's because the enemy has come to kill, destroy, and to steal. He has done a great work. For I'm looking for a people who will have power over his keys. And what I have given him, that they might set themselves free, and also those and their loved ones, that they would have power from heaven. That they might bind the power of the enemy and loose the Spirit of God. And with that, they will do great and mighty exploits these last days, that they might live above reproach. And through that, they will bring forth mighty people, the mighty ones who are in bondage, the things of this world, that they might be set free, that they might live in liberty for the day that I call them home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.